What's up, world? I'm Matt Newberg from Hungary, and this is The Feed. Each episode, we'll dive into conversations with the industry insiders who are leveraging technology to shape the way we eat. On today's episode of The Feed, I sat down with Judy and Elliot Frost, co-founders of Belly, a social network and review platform dedicated to restaurant fanatics. In this episode, we'll talk about the problems with the existing rating platforms and restaurant discovery, how Belly aims to play a pivotal role in the end-to-end dining experience, and the power of its data to unlock personalized recommendations. This podcast is brought to you by Hungry, a media and research platform dedicated to the intersection of food and technology. For more information, please visit hungry.tv, that's hungry with no U, and click subscribe to join the weekly newsletter. All right. Well, Judy and Elliot, it's really a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for taking the time. I would love to just kind of go back to the origin stories of the two of you and Belly and kind of how you guys met and came up with this really fun idea.
Thank you so much for having us. We're very excited to be here. Yeah, I can definitely give you the origin story. Probably no surprise, but Ellie and I are absolutely restaurant obsessed, always have been. So Elliot grew up in New York City. The only thing he ever wanted for a birthday was to try a new restaurant. When he was first learning how to code, he actually got his parents kicked off of Yelp for a while because he was very poorly scraping Yelp data. They were not thrilled, but it was a good learning experience for him. I had a very restaurant, but very different upbringing. So I grew up in Michigan and my dad's an investor. He invests primarily in public restaurant chains. So I was going to places like Applebee's 5 nights a week and comparing line lengths and costs. And so it was very different, but very restaurant heavy. And then Ellie and I met, we actually met working together in New York. And like so many people do, we built our relationship around trying new restaurants. And we had this massive Google map and it was ranked, color-coded notes, favorite dishes, you name it, we were doing it. And if you're on Belly, it sounds probably pretty familiar. But what was very clear to us is that Google Maps wasn't built for that purpose. And I think the other thing that was going on at that time is we were going to restaurants that were supposed to be great, had great 5-star ratings, great critic reviews, and we were just often being disappointed. So when we started Belly, those were the two problems we were trying to address.
Very interesting. And yes, I can attest to, I think I showed this to you before, but my abysmal Google Maps that my brother and I have shared, I think there's 1,500 places on it across the world. And I think I broke your importer
you did. API integration.
I'm still waiting for Google to fix their code. But yeah, I'm excited to dive in here. So let's set the stage and talk about reviews and kind of the history there, kind of when it comes to platforms like Google, TripAdvisor, Yelp. And then you have, you know, also alongside that discovery, how people find new restaurants, right? You have, you know, infatuation, eater, and then you have social media like TikTok, Instagram. So going back to the origins of this, like, how did you kind of define the problem space that you kind of wanted to solve on these different kind of vectors here?
I think we would describe restaurant discovery today as fragmented. People are typically using a bunch of different sources to try to cross-reference places that they see on social media with online ratings and then with blogs and what they've heard from friends. And all this is kind of in order to get a picture of what their experience at the restaurant might be like. But when we started researching the problem, we kind of found, you know, two things. One was that there were a lot of people like us out there who were keeping restaurant lists. Pretty much every, you know, foodie we spoke to was keeping some kind of list, whether it was in their notes app or a spreadsheet or a text thread. But there was just no centralized place where everybody was keeping those lists together. And the other thing that we were finding was that pretty much none of these people had ever written online reviews in their lives. And so when we set out to build Belly, the problem we were first and foremost trying to solve was, can we create a really great place for people to keep these restaurant lists? And in doing so, collect and sort of centralize a lot of this information that was previously kind of spread out among a bunch of other things.
Totally empathize with that. And I think I'm your ideal person because I think I've left like maybe 5 reviews and they're usually just scathing things of, you know, people who have wronged me somehow. I have, again, saved a zillion different places and I'm getting emailed probably every week for different lists, mostly stuff around Italy for some reason, and because a lot of Americans want to go to Italy and Japan, my two favorite places. But on that thread, this idea of lists is something, you know, I think we spoke about before, that is something I think is really magical and really an interesting kind of data structure. And you think about all these media platforms that I just mentioned, Infatuation, Eater, they're actually using a schema that I think Google or, you know, some open source platform is basically created a schema of lists where every time they publish something where they're saying the top 10 breakfast burritos in New York or whatever it is, it's all getting kind of put into a data structure that if you pull it up on Google, it'll say, oh, this restaurant is a child to the parent of this list, right? If we're thinking about data structure. And I think that's really interesting because it points out this kind of hidden network around lists and this kind of graph that you guys are building. So I would love to kind of hear from you, why are lists so special and why do you think nobody has cracked this yet?
So there are a few things going on. I will let Elliot speak to why we think lists are so special, but talking about why no one's cracked this yet, it really depends on what industry you're talking about. But we think that where a lot of companies have gone wrong is that they try to approach this problem broadly. So they try to be the best at all lists. And we think that's a big problem because when you think about the competitors there, Google Maps and Notes app, they're actually totally fine. And they do an okay job at the solving the broad problem. And they're massive companies and they're integrated into your daily life. So trying to beat out Google Maps or Notes app and you're not... when you're not addressing a specific problem, we think it's a huge task to overcome. Elliot, I'll let you talk a little bit about why we think lists are so special.
Yeah. So we made a pretty early on decision to make Belly based around lists kind of for two reasons. One, it has like a very clear inherent organizational structure. So from the user's perspective, there's a lot of utility in having their experiences in list form. And then the data also ends up being really good for a lot of other purposes. So deriving preferences, you know, recommending someone's favorite places, deriving similarities between people. And so Belly is, you know, not just lists, but ranked lists, you know, is based entirely around that idea of finding similarities between users and recommending places based on that.
Right. My dream is like, based on my weird lists, like when I'm in a new place, show me something that someone else with some overlap of my existing list like recommended that I didn't know about, right? Use that kind of collaborative filtering. And I think that's kind of where this is going. So just taking a step back, I'd love for you to just give us the, you know, Belly consumer pitch. Who are your users? And, you know, let's talk about this powerful graph that you're building around restaurants and their fans.
Absolutely. So we believe Belly is the best tool and community for anyone who is obsessed with great food and exploring restaurants. Our users are amazing. They're those people in your friend group that are constantly researching restaurants, exploring great places all over the world. And the idea of Belly is really to give people a place to keep track of all of these places and all of these experiences and bring those experiences together in one place. And then, you know, in turn, make it easier for people to find other people who share the same tastes and find other restaurants that match their personal tastes.
And I guess, like, when you think about this graph, like, how would you define, you know, Facebook is a friend graph, Instagram is a taste graph, right? I guess Twitter is some form of a taste graph and just a cesspool. But just what is the graph that you're building here?
So I think actually how we answer this depends on where we are in time. Like the answer is different where we are today versus where it will be in the future. And so when we started building Belly and researching and surveying and talking to people, I think the thing that came up the most was that the number one source for recommendations, the most trusted recommendations were your friends. It seems so obvious, but that's who they trust most. That's who they were always going to turn to first. So when we built Belly, it was really about building a social network on your 5 to 10 closest, most trusted food friends. And so that's where we started. I think when we think long-term, if we can derive your taste, there's no reason that we can't be your ultimate food friend, but we have to build trust first with you as like, you have to have trust with the platform. So long-term, we would hope that you maybe will trust our recommendations more or trust who we tell you to follow because you have similar food tastes to someone you've never met before. But where we started was really just building a network around your closest, most trusted food friends.
Got it. It's interesting because it kind of reminds me of Hinge and some of these other ones where they're, you know, Hinge was originally all about friends of friends. And I think that was a flawed thing. Like,
yep.
If I have like 100 mutual friends in common with you and we haven't gone on a date or we haven't like talked, like there's probably a reason, you know, like, and sometimes like the people in your closest friend circle aren't necessarily the people who have the best taste in food, but you like them anyway.
Definitely.
I certainly know like some of my closest friends, like we will just fight about restaurants all day. And then there's certain people I go to get my recommendations. And I feel like I'm one of the people that spends a decent amount of time every week fielding lists and having to copy paste and just finagle my way around, you know, the Notes app or the Google Maps app. Yeah, I'm amazed by how people have really become obsessed with your app. There's people in there that are highly engaged. And I would love for you to kind of talk about some of the key interactions that you have and the kind of gamification that you've built that have kind of led to people getting obsessed and turning this into a game where, you know, you're kind of sitting at home rating restaurants and kind of sorting through the a stack.
So the way that Belly works is, you know, once you're onboarded onto the app, the first place you're dropped is on your bin list. So you're prompted to start to add as many places as you can think of that you've been to and rank them. And we do ranking or rating in a somewhat different way than a lot of other apps. Everything on Belly is comparison based. So every time you add a new restaurant to your list, you're asked to compare it to another restaurant on your list that you've been to and a series of those to stack rank it. So it'll be like, do you prefer restaurant A or restaurant B? And the reason that we do this is that there are a lot of things about comparisons that make them very powerful. First of all, like humans are actually a lot better at the certain, like the type of judgment that goes into a comparison. So for example, it's, you know, a lot easier for me to say, you know, this object is a lot closer than another object, but it's pretty hard for me to say exactly how far away these two objects are from one another. And we think that that's very analogous to ratings. A lot of rating platforms ask you to pick a number, which is actually quite difficult relative to saying, oh, I like this thing more than I like another. So it can be controversial, but it actually is in a lot of ways easier for people to kind of think about their experiences that way. So anyway, back to you're dropped in your bin list, you start building a list. The other kind of core functionality is creating your want to try list. So for places that you haven't been yet, you can bookmark them and keep track of them for later. And then with the idea that, you know, once you go, then you would rate them and they go onto your bin list. I think another really core part of the app is the news feed. So, you know, it's kind of Venmo-esque in a way where it's like fun to see like what your friends are up to, what they're doing. So you can, but I think a little more useful really, because it's everyone going in and saying, okay, I went to this restaurant. This is how I felt about it. Adding photos, adding notes, adding favorite dishes. And so you get a lot more information about what your friends are up to. And through that, a lot of discovery in places that you want to try. And then I think another sort of the last like core piece of the app would be our recommendations. And I think this goes to what Judy was speaking about earlier, where, you know, as we've collected, you know, people create these long lists of hundreds of restaurants. We know a lot about what kinds of places they like. We know other similar users. We can use that to drive preferences and create recommendations that really match up with what you personally like or what you personally value in a restaurant experience.
Awesome. Yeah, a lot of reactions to that. The first is like, I totally agree about the sortation method. You know, if you look at a guy like Dave Portnoy, I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to how he gives his scores. And if he gives something a 7.9 versus an 8.4, that's like, you know, an insane delta as far as like the amount of incremental business that the pizzeria is going to get from these crazy Portnoy fanatics. And he's trashed a lot of places that I just don't understand. And he's also overhyped things that I also don't understand. Obviously, taste is a hard thing to nail down. But I do think a lot of this just comes down to like how he's feeling for the day And it's actually really unfair because he can single-handedly destroy a restaurant. I mean, Pete Wells, same kind of thing with the star thing. And I feel like these people are highly emotional, erratic, and in many cases irrational people who just wake up every morning and based on, you know, whether the sun is out or not, they're going to decide that something is good or not. You know, I mean, I'm probably being a little overly binary myself, but I think that that's special. And then the other thing I was going to say is this phenomenon around like, and I'm guilty of this too, because my Instagram story is just about food. And how did we get to a place where the idea of sharing where I ate or taking pictures of my food became such a conversation piece, right? Like, what is driving that discovery and sharing of the places that I've been and that I'm frequenting? Like, what do you think is the emotional, psychological kind of driver there?
I think there are a few things going on. I think there's people like to help other people out to an extent. Like, if they have a great experience, they want to maybe support the restaurant. They want to help their friends find a great place. I think there's also just a kind of a pride that goes into it. People love collecting restaurant experiences. I think that that's very common on Belly. I think people get, you know, a little competitive. They're like, I want to show that I've been to all these places. Another feature that we didn't talk about before is the leaderboard. And so Belly, you know, we keep track of, you know, who's rated the most restaurants, who's added the most photos, who's invited the most friends. And I think one of our early observations, like back when we actually launched Belly or decided we're going to work on Belly full time in early 2020. So right before the pandemic started. So for like a year, we didn't actually roll out the product. We just had like 100 of our friends on it. And one of the things we noticed really early on was that people were really competitive. We put the leaderboard in and we just had friends going back and forth like day after day trying to one up one another. And I think it's a fun kind of game layer on top of it. But I think it all comes back to, you know, people are having great experiences. They want to tell other people about their experiences. So, you know, that kind of dynamic.
I mean, I'm looking at the leaderboard right now. I mean, there's people on here who have rated thousands of restaurants, and I'm just like thinking, I better get to work here. I mean, I've obviously eaten at a lot of restaurants in my life. It's sometimes really hard to like start to download from your brain every place you've been, right? And I feel like you guys do a good job like asking, you know, basically based on what I have rated, like, I don't know where I saw this in the app, but you know, there were prompts to basically say like, have you been to this place? And if so, rate it. Like, here are places that we think you should rate, which I think was great. And I had been to a lot of them, but yeah, these people are insane. Like, how does Alex Cantor have the time to go to 2,400 different restaurants? Did he just like go through every one of his childhood restaurant experiences? I mean, okay, let's do the math on this, right? I guess if you eat out every single day, 365 days a year, you can get there in a couple of years, right? But you gotta spend a lot of time. I guess a lot of these people are just going back into their memory, into their memory banks, and just doing it. And this guy Gary's Diner, he's gone to 4,300 restaurants?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to talk to our users because they all have very cool stories. So Gary, part of his job is going to restaurants. And so he spends, you know, most of his life going to many different restaurants. And he's just, you know, accumulated an insane amount of restaurant experiences. I think Alex, he told us his photo album and spent all day, every day for weeks, just making sure he logged every single place he had any recollection of going to.
It is fascinating because Alex puts out this list every year of the top 100 Alex Cantor LA restaurants, which I find amusing. And there is something about this. I think you're right about this bookkeeping kind of, it's a memento. Every experience you have that you share with another friend or maybe even by yourself in a plate is an experience that is worth cataloging to a certain extent. And now we've added another kind of dimension to this beyond Instagram, where we can really like got dive into the metadata of the restaurant and the graph of people who interact with it to do something bigger. Whereas Instagram is just, you know, it's not just, I mean, my Instagram is just restaurants, but like, it's not purpose built for restaurants, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so a lot of these people are following a lot of other people on the network. And I'm wondering like how much of it is, you know, going back to our point of like, where, who do you trust, right? And build trust with. Yeah. Certainly if somebody's been in LA where I live and is reviewing thousands of restaurants like Alex, I'm going to follow them. I happen to know Alex to some extent, but there's other people I've never met that look like they have good taste. So, you know, how much of it is, you know, uploading your contacts and seeing who's on there and following that them versus like these kind of food influencers, if you had to like kind of estimate from a finger to the wind, like what do you think is stronger there?
I think today it's very much your friends. I think we haven't done a lot of explore in terms of both restaurants and people. We really do think that explore on both is really important. And so the leaderboard is a first step. Like, hey, I live in LA. Let me go see who the top reviewers are in LA. They seem to know a lot about restaurants. I can follow them. And so you'll see the top of the leaderboard. Those users will have a lot of followers, but that's unique to the top of the leaderboard. I think the other thing we do there, which is a first step towards explore of people, is the batch score. So you can see how highly correlated you are with those people. So it's like, hey, right, they've reviewed a lot, but also we have a 50% match score in terms of our food preferences. And so, hey, maybe I should trust their recommendations more. And so we'll do a lot more there. But today it very much is your closest, most trusted food friends.
Awesome. I love this match functionality. I'm on it right now. Alex and I only have a 2% match, which I understand. We don't agree on a lot of things, but 10% with the Harper Wayne, that's still not great. HZ and I have a 19%. And then someone named TTT123, we're like at 41%. So I think I need to follow this person.
Yeah, that's very high.
Their avatar is a picture of a baguette, so they're very stealth. I can see they don't, and they've been to 600 places, so.
Wow.
But I went on there, and number one for them is bestie, and I have to just, I don't know, that's not starting on the right foot with me. I don't know.
It's an important point, though. Like, food taste is, it's subjective. What you like isn't necessarily what someone else should like. And so it's a very, it's a good point, and we think it's the right point.
So, I mean, it's quite the effort that you guys took to get to this point where you're one of a top food and beverage app in the App Store, if I'm not mistaken. And I'd love to hear a little bit more, Elliot. You alluded to like the 100 friend kind of experiment when you were just getting people kind of in a more of a single player mode to just, you know, rate restaurants and start the database and network. I guess like talk to us about kind of solving what I would call the cold start problem of building out any kind of social network. And then like kind of how you've acquired users since then.
There are kind of two things going on, and you actually just talked a bit about one. Belly, there's a single player mode. You don't need friends on the app to use it. You can just be on there to create your list and document those experiences by yourself. So a lot of review platforms, you need the reviews first before people come onto the platform. And we luckily do not have that problem. So that's helped us a lot. We only put social media content out in New York, but we see major growth in all major cities in the US and abroad at this point, just because of that single player mode where someone comes on to make their list, they invite their friends, and we grow from there. In terms of how we seeded the app to begin, TikTok was hugely helpful. Belly has made me feel very old, and I've had now a lot of exposure to Gen Z and just an amazing generation. But when we first started Belly, we were like, how do we get any users? Like, how do we put this out there? And we had this idea to put out a very silly 6-second video of me eating with my Belly map in the background, in some like line about how I'm very organized and I track every restaurant I go to. And Elliot and I had a bet on whether or not anyone would sign up from it. And I put the video up, went into a meeting, came out and TikTok did what it does. And we had thousands of users sign up that day. We didn't even have an app on the App Store. So it was actually, we were very lucky. Seeding the initial product in the first month or two came from like a few videos, and we got tens of thousands of users just from a couple videos.
And a test flight link.
And a test exactly. flight link. We were actually texting everyone to get on the app. We didn't know this could happen, but Elliot got kicked off of iMessage because we sent out so many invites over text. Yeah,
it is
possible.
You reached Tim Cook's desk. That's not good.
No, it's not good.
You and Travis Kalanick. Now that you've gotten that, you had that like initial seed group, how has it grown from there organically, I guess?
Yeah, from our perspective, if Belly isn't viral, this doesn't work. So we focus all of our efforts on organic growth. So we have two main channels. It's our own social media, Instagram and TikTok channels, and then in-app referrals. And today, in-app referrals and word of mouth is by far the biggest growth mechanism in Belly.
So like, does that look like me sharing a list with somebody who's not on Belly yet, and that and they can view it if they sign up, or is it just like a invite link?
So it can take a few different forms. So it could be exactly that. It could be like me saying, hey, here's my list. You can follow me on this app. If, say, my friend asks me for recommendations or whatever it may be, it could also be me sharing one of my posts on Belly to other social media platforms, or me sharing my profile to other social media platforms, or it could just be me sending an invite. When we first started, we were invite only, which also fueled a lot of growth. Everyone had a limited number of invites, and you sent those out. And that was how we got people on the platform.
I'm sure you guys have thought about this, but what about like, you know, famous culinary influencers who like have city lists that, you know, people are just dying to get their hands on when they travel, for instance? Like, I want to know, you know, where Nancy Silverton is going in the Amalfi Coast or something, or I want to know all the pizza and roast beef places that Pauly G is going to. I honestly wanted to actually, I tried to scrape his Instagram and pull every single location off of his thing, because I just figured if he's putting a picture up of it, it's probably an endorsement. And all these places are like red sauce gems and just heavy, heavy food. But anyway, that would be my dream. Like, what do you guys think about that as an acquisition or like maybe even monetization strategy?
We definitely think a lot about it. It's very interesting, and we do think it would lead to a lot of traffic. For us, it's very important that Belly be an active platform. And by active, I mean that every user goes on there and participates, whether it be ranking places they've been or bookmarking places they want to try, preferably both. And so we get very nervous that if we do things like that, where we have celebrities or influencers or whatever it may be on the platform, and they're sharing their list and they're driving a lot of traffic, we worry that that will bring in a lot of passive users that come in the app to look at their list one time and then leave. And so that's why we haven't done it to date. It's not to say it won't be part of our future. It definitely could very well be, but we want to be very smart about how we do it.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great point. I think you got to get the real heads that are really out there doing all the work, driving around in their car, who aren't just trying to get a tip and then move on to the next thing. It's like, these are people who make discovering new restaurants a big part of their like free time. It's where they derive a lot of their pleasure. They because of the social element, because of the culinary element, you know, I'm speaking on behalf of myself and other people who are similar, but you know, I get it. It makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about the data and like where this could potentially go, because I think this is super powerful. You know, so you get a stack rank kind of list from users as far as like their preferences, and I guess you know where they're going, where they're traveling to. I guess talk to us about like some of that data, and then like in building what I would call an individual taste profile on Matt, the consumer, the diner, and what that might unlock for me in the future as a user of Belly.
So when we think about Belly as a product and kind of where it's headed, we spend a lot of time thinking about what we call like the dining out journey, which is all the steps that are involved in going out to eat, from hearing about it through going, through reflecting, through sharing, etc. And we think about Belly today as being positioned very much at the beginning and the end of that journey. The very beginning, you hear about a restaurant, you want to remember it, so you bookmark it. The very end, you went to the restaurant, you want to remember the experience, you want to share it with your friends, so you rank it. And we started there, exactly the reason you said, because there's a lot of data, a lot of really interesting information about what people care about on each of those ends. And then I think as we mature, the idea with Belly is to take that data and help people make decisions and, make better decisions along different points of the dining out journey. So helping people decide where they should go tonight, who they should be eating with, what they should be ordering, where they should be eating when they're traveling. And so we think that as we, basically like leveraging that data to help people have better restaurant experiences.
Interesting. So like when you think about the middle, the middle is like paying at the table, leaving feedback for the restaurant, these kinds of things.
So, I mean, I think there's obviously like a million steps. I think it'll be interesting to see what parts make sense for us to go into versus like partnering with someone who has expertise in that. I think the idea for us is that we think, if Belly is the starting point and the ending point, that we can also just, be helpful at other points along there.
Really interesting. I'd love to kind of talk about this like premium tier that you guys have been testing on New York that I'm very jealous of because I'm not there. And kind of the other hidden perks within this tier, like what are you learning from these tests and from, interacting face-to-face with some of your most loyal users?
Yeah, we're definitely learning a little bit. I think right now it's very early and it's very small. Americans spend over $1 trillion a year eating out. They spend more eating out than they do on groceries. So our thesis has always been that if we can make dining out easier and if we can build a community around food, consumers would be willing to pay for that. So that was kind of the basis for this. I think in general, we absolutely love our users so much, and the power users are just such cool people. Connecting in real life is just awesome. And selfishly, we love doing it. So far, what we've learned is that people do love to connect in real life. There are premium features that people will pay for, but we're very, very early in those tests. Mm.
Where have you done some of these IRL meetups? Like, I'm assuming they're kind of group dinners at various hotspots in the city.
Yeah, we did one at Four Charles. That's our favorite restaurant in New York. So we had all the reservations for the night. That was amazing. So it was exactly like a normal dinner at Four Charles, but it was only Belly Supper Club members. We did another with Pop-Up Bagels where they hosted an amazing brunch. Different formats. They've been very cool, but again, very early.
And are those like, are Pop-Up Bagels or Four Charles like sharing that content kind of with their audience, or what are they getting out of this as well? I'm just kind of curious.
So I think there are a couple of things. The people who are part of this membership are, you take the extreme diners that are already on Belly and then you take the most extreme of those. That's a lot of the people there. So they're just great. They're great customers. Like, these are the people you definitely want in your restaurant because they really care about food. They really care about the restaurant industry. Like, they're just great people out in your restaurant. I think, we got some feedback from one of the restaurants that the group that came in was, the youngest crowd they had in the restaurant, the most diverse, and they spent just as much as their normal crowd. And I think that was like, it good. It's like, even for a very popular restaurant, like which, Four Charles or Papa Bagels both are, it's still great for them to sort of reinvigorate their audience. I think there also is a ton of sharing that comes out of it. We try to, make it fun, make it something people are excited about that they want to share, which only further, gets people more devoted to those restaurants.
I think that's really interesting. I think it's also a testament to like the acquisition of infatuation by Chase and why Amex bought Resy. And I think everyone's seeing this, kind of new consumer of, and understanding that the restaurant spend is a huge chunk of that, monthly credit card spend. I mean, it's probably the biggest chunk on mine if I had to visualize it.
Ours
too. Powerful. It's powerful to tap into an audience like yours who are like, not only people who just love to dine out, but they're people who are like, I guess, micro influencers or real influencers that would amplify their reach exponentially. So I'd love to kind of talk about this other feature you have in there that I recently discovered called reservation sharing. This is really interesting, especially when we look at startups like Dorsia, which have been on the pod and are they're doing stuff like hosting pop-ups now here in LA and I'm sure everywhere else. And then kind of how do you see this? I mean, I guess this kind of goes to like the middle part you were talking about earlier, Elliot. But yeah, how do you see this kind of playing in there to the broader experience?
Definitely. So reservation sharing is essentially what it is if I have a reservation for tonight that I realize I can no longer make and I don't want to get hit with the cancellation fee, I can post it on Belly and then anyone who has a bookmarks will get notified and then someone can claim it. And if they claim it, then we put the two people in touch and they can text each other and pass the reservation. And the reason we released this feature is because, as Elliot was just talking about, Belly users are restaurant obsessed. And so they're those people that, you know, when reservations open a month in advance, they're making all of them and often or sometimes forgetting about them or realizing they can't actually go and they just wanted to have the reservation just in case. And so in a world where most reservations, especially in New York, now have cancellation fees and, you know, we want every table to be filled, we were like, why not? You know, our users are asking us for this feature. Let's put something in place where if I have this great reservation, I can post it to a bunch of people who actually want it. In terms of where it's going, I don't know for sure yet. I think it's a great feature. It's great for our community, and I think it's a cool way to put members in touch. But it goes to what Elliot was saying, where it does hit the middle of the dining out journey. Reservations are super important. It's an interesting space. Resi and OpenTable obviously dominate there. And what we do in reservations in the future, we're unsure of. So this is definitely our first test in some sort of reservation something. But we're very we're not involved in this hardly at all, other than the mechanism itself. So, I mean, full disclosure, we're not sure where it's going. We'll see. Mm.
Totally. I think it just goes to show, from my perspective, it seems like something that it just underscores the power of the community and just is one of many kind of use cases of ways that the community can interact and add value to each other. Personally, yeah. Selfishly, I think I would love to see a like foreign reservation system where you guys like hire people in call centers that stay up like really late at night and like book reservations in other time zones. So I don't have to like wake up in the middle of the night and do that, because this is a real problem for certain people. And also translate and can speak the foreign language of the country that you're trying to go to, because this, if you go to a country like Japan and you don't have your reservations, on a Saturday, on a busy night, you're going to be kind of, you're going to get screwed. And a lot of places are like this. And either you have to rely on your hotel concierge to book the reservations, or you have to just do the reservations that are like, they have what I would call the Gaijin website. You know, Gaijin means like white people in Japanese, but like you basically just use their reservation systems, and many times they're actually impossible for a Gaijin to understand, and I've had to spend a lot of time decoding them. But anyway, that's my Japanese reservation tangent. I spent way too much time on that, and it's a very niche thing. I'm very privileged to say that this is a problem for me, but anyway, we'll move on.
It's a cool idea.
Anyway, okay, this is an interesting idea I have. So what about, we talk a lot about like I hate saying foodie, so we're gonna say your users, you know, ranking restaurants, and this is something that is very much a community feature. So far, it seems like, you know, you're getting this data publicly and the restaurants are not really involved. Platforms like Yelp have come under fire for engaging restaurants and then coming to them and holding, you know, and basically going and saying to them like, hey, pay us to take down your bad reviews or hide them or rearrange them, you know, and it's like highway robbery kind of. So I'm not suggesting that you would do something like this. Obviously, I'm sure you're very pro restaurant, but is the idea of having businesses, small, you know, restaurants in particular, like be part of this network and potentially monetizing that somehow a potential future for you guys?
So you know, how we work with restaurants is something that we spend a lot of time thinking about. To date, we've worked very little with restaurants. The reason being that consumer trust is really important to us, and we don't want users to go into the platform wondering if something is recommended because it's actually recommended or because it was paid for or anything like that. That said, you know, when we decided to build Belly, we really wanted to build something that's better for both consumers and for restaurants. So we love the idea of, you know, having a way for restaurants to claim their page and communicate with people who they know love them or people who have indicated that they want to try them in a way that's very organic and mutually beneficial. But to be honest, it's still very early days, and I think we're interested in testing a lot of different things. But the idea being, we want something that's a win-win.
I have to say, I'm very impressed by both of you guys as founders being very disciplined in your focus and having very good rationale around what you want to do and what you don't want to do, and being very kind of maniacally focused on like the most important thing at any given time. I think that's really, as a former product manager turned into a food tech media person, that's very cool to see.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot.
Well, this has been a really fascinating conversation. I'm obviously very biased here, but as a not foodie, a restaurant obsessed person, looking at the next kind of 5 to 10 years, medium to long term, like, how do you think consumers will be the dominant form of discovery for diners? And then what do you think your role is going to be in that? I mean, you've touched on this kind of, I guess we talk about the funnel from click to check, as I would say, but what do you think your place in that kind of journey is?
You know, you can go to Google, Yelp, TripAdvisor, then you go to Resy, and then you go somewhere else, and then afterwards you go to your note. And it doesn't really make sense. Like, why do you need so many different steps? Why do you need to check so many different sources? So in our ideal world, you go to one. Belly is essentially your best friend. All the opinions that matter are in one place, yours, your friends, and these generated assumptions on what you would like. And you were able to decide where to eat. You can go into a new city. It's like you're an expert there. You're dropped anywhere in the world and we'll know exactly what the best places for you are. And then you'll be able to do everything involved in dining in one place. We see no reason that world shouldn't exist.
I love that vision. I love that vision of being like, of explaining as like an expert being dropped. You know, I'm envisioning like the Google Street View guy that you just drop onto the map.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
The second part of it being personalization, right? Which I think is really important because if I'm looking at like Condé Nast, top 10, whatever, like that's their bougie audience. It's not like my like street cart, whatever, things that's interspersed with some bougie places, you know? So I think the idea of personalization and you make giving people that feeling that they can rely on you to be that kind of expert source that is dynamic and powered by so much rich data, I think is super powerful. So I really like that. I want to give you both like the space now to just kind of plug away anything you want to promote. You know, if people want to download Belly, obviously you can get in the App Store. It's not with a Y, it's with an I, and it's one L, B-E-L-I. So I did that job for you. But if they want to reach out, there's a lot of like B2B more industry players here. If people want to reach out for other things, you know, just now's your time to promote.
Well, I think you covered it. If you're a foodie, we'd love to have you on the app. If you're on the app and you want to talk to us, please reach out. We love talking to all users. And then, yeah, if you're in the industry, also, we would love to talk to you. But yeah, that's kind of it for me.
And what's the best way to get in touch? Just go on your website?
Yeah. So if on our website, we do have like an email form. You can email hello@bellyapp.com and that goes straight to us. We see everything. So yes, that would probably be the best way to get in touch.
Okay, awesome. Well, I need to spend the weekend and go through all of my photos and start really brain dumping all of my restaurant memories and mementos into your app to really get the full value. And I'm sure I will be hooked, but I'm not gonna feel bad about myself for spending hours doing this because I think it will pay off in spades. So thank you so much for coming on. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for having us. We had a blast.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And if you're curious to get a firsthand look at the cutting edge of food and tech, check out hungry.tv. That's Hungry with No You, where you can join in on live conversations like these or sign up for the free weekly newsletter.